it going to come out, Disney?
It'll come out nice and naturally loud.
All right.
Yeah.
Chapter 4.
Okie doke. The eye at the end of your punk ass. Chapter 4. Jess Seaman adding to the multimedia.
That shit right now.
I'm one of the medias. That didn't make any sense.
Mediate.
Well, the two girls started singing, "Hooray for Captain Spaulding, the African Explorer." And then someone called them schnorrers and said, "Hooray, hooray, hooray! Hooray for running after the apparition of a rabid dog." Kelsey continued breathing and listening. But she couldn't hear the ladders rising up. And she couldn't hear the dog. "I'm a major asshole despite myself," she murmured. "I don't believe it," Drew replied, sounding more like Victor Mildrew than genuinely astonished. Kelsey understood that she was born without reason. She had to go out onto the streets to buy it. She might not be the idiot she was today if that dog had given her head back to her with the neurons still firing. "Then why isn't your head not attached?" Drew asked. "I don't know." The girl with no head responded. The two ran around in silence. Kelsey was the most silent, but that was because her heart had stopped beating. Within a minute, when her heart had become as large as life, Kelsey saw the grunion and it wasn't a ghost. "We don't have any grunion catchers around here," Kelsey said, romancing the silence. "I'm going to look for one." Kelsey was ready to punt the ball after two tries, but reconsidered. She needed her head. Desperately. The street resembled her desperation, but it didn't hold that rat bastard dog. "I know you know I know," she murmured. "That's odd," Drew commented, looking like soup was ready. "Now how come I'm getting more and more desperate?" "Don't ask me that question. I'm too busy with my own desperation." "Get over here, immediately," Kelsey said. "Especially if you're my head." "Oh, thanks a lot." "Why don't you take a long ride on a short donkey," Drew said, as if she were pouring herself a cup of coffee in the Andes. "And you've never seen anyone talk so rapidly unless you've seen Desi Arnaz in The Vigilante. And you were listening with antenna. And you were able to decode the human-animal sounds from the sounds of elderly pelicans and grunting. But if you can, that means you have an ear of rumor that surpasses that of Pontius Pilate." There was more obscurity on the street than there were ants. Kelsey knew that if God was ever going to come down, then it better bring some olive oil. If God was going to keep melting out life sentences in Brazil for Nazis, then Kelsey was going to double up on her ganja intake and start vomiting. "Look!" Drew exclaimed. She knew that in 1 second, Kelsey would be choking her way to see God. "What?" asked the youth. "The heart may be a lazy son of a bitch, but not when it's beating 100 times a minute." Kelsey had a minute to listen before her last rites. "That's incredulous," Drew babbled. "Look what you've done to my self-esteem." Kelsey knew a circle jerk when she saw one, and she also knew when someone was pulling her leg and Drew was about to rein in both the choir invisible and a plan to turn night into day. But neither of these super intellectuals knew where they were. Still, they went on looking and rummaging in the streets, trying to find something to talk about. On 13th Street, in the middle of nowhere, without heads. "You can believe what you can't see, but we're in the middle of some deep dog do," Drew said, and it echoed and echoed and echoed until the cows came home. She had a fleeting suspicion that she was only pretending to be alive. "We've been standing in the same place in the same time. It's just that our heads are missing. This is the last thing I wanted to do to get rid of my sinus problem." Kelsey was going to say the same thing with even more morbidity. But then she thought it was strange. Very strange. "Boy, Drew, have you ever recorded your visits to the psychic? What kinds of problems do you always talk about?" "You don't talk about my..." The girl saw another house next to death. They knew that if they didn't find their heads soon, their hearts would stop beating. The street joined in their obscurity, and especially in their desperation. "So what if you can't hear me?" The psychic's thoughts resonated in Kelsey's lack of a head. "Either me, or my vulva's going crazy," the girl told herself. "Streets can't talk. It doesn't have a head either. What passes for a head is no more than a lover's lane, where everyone is right now, if I'm everyone." Kelsey, would you move your vast rear end, Drew approximately said. I know you know I know, but you know too late. Kelsey ran into the corner. No sooner had she run into the corner than she realized she was in her own house, and she was looking at her parents and two police officers. Where have you been? Kelsey's mom asked. Do you know what time it is? Drew's mom was there, too. I need to sit down. A poor excuse for Kelsey, said. It's not quite. She was going to say, time to talk to fat-ass losers, but she knew it was closer to 2 a.m. If she said she had been in some parallel universe, she knew she'd only succeed in prolonging the conversation. And that was something she never wanted to do with this lot. It's time for all of you to stop acting like the Tooth Fairy and give me what I want when I want it. We don't have watches, Drew said as an explanation. I'd lop off my right arm if we did. That's great. Kelsey's mom was about to lop off something, and she'd do it so quickly that the house would look like a city that had insisted on using the toilet one too many. One time too many, that is. What would be great now would be a vacation. But with the parents around, there'd be less podiatrist conventions and more fact-finding trips. Get in here and wash your hands before I beat the cedar shavings out of you, Drew's mom said, and all the parents ambulated into the house. Meanwhile, Kelsey sat on the porch for 5 years thinking about the crazy time with the psychic. Of course, now that she had got into the house, it occurred to her what a muscle-bound idiot she had been. Tanta! Kelsey heard it into her head. But this time it echoed all the way to the rear of her head, and then started reading Yukio Mishima, who started pouring salt on her mispronunciation of Tanto. She was cruising toward the door when all of a sudden she lapdogged to attention. Then she started cawing like a raven. She turned around and around, tying the gyro's plate from a nearby Greek cafe. Drew wanted to say, and loving it. What is that? Drew asked instead, looking to all the world she had arrived on Earth with her eyes torn in half. You're such a loser, Kelsey replied, looking like the object of the Bolshoi Ballet's affections, like the object of an extraterrestrial pie fight. The girl was trying to go where even the air and the condors couldn't breathe, where there was no email. Where there was no email, but where there were old smokers hanging out in Lazy Boy chairs. They were even handing out Lazy Boy chairs.
Both of those things.
Kelsey knew that when push came to tumble, she'd be tumbling out the door. She'd be tumbling out the door like a hypnotized used car dealer on crank. Period.
All right.
Goodness gracious.